Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. Back to The Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Been thinking a lot about high school athletics. Been thinking about the proposal by the OSAA to redo the football playoffs. We got a guest here. Eric Buchla is coming on the show. Do we have the guest?
Not yet. We're working on them.
Working on the guest. Okay. We got Eric Buchla coming on the show to talk about it, the basketball coach at West Lynn High School. Looking forward to talking to him also about essentially the coaching that he has done over the years with Peyton Pritchard and also Jackson Shellstad, his other pupil. What do you guys think about this? They're talking about the 6A football playoffs, splitting the bracket into two halves, creating a Division I bracket that will be made up of the top 16 teams in the final rankings, and a Division II bracket that will be made up of the remaining teams. And the idea is, apparently some people say, look, there's some competitive inequity here. We're seeing the same teams that have popped up over and over again in the football championship games. But I think that the fear I had initially in looking at like the idea that they would split into two things is like a state championship is supposed to be a real state championship. It's not just supposed to be a state championship of like your group. If you are the 6A champion, you are the best team in 6A. I don't like the idea of splitting the bracket into two. I think it's the wrong thing. If you want to reclassify some programs that maybe can't compete in 6A, then let's talk about that. Or if you want to maybe try to help some of the programs that maybe have good numbers but don't seem to have success on the field, let's examine that rather than splitting it into two and creating kind of a participation award for that second bracket. Like, you know, it's a real championship. Not everybody's going to win one. Like, we have to be okay with that as a culture, a sports culture. Our next guest, Eric Buchla, West Lynn High School boys basketball coach. He got a whole bunch of championships, whole bunch of state championships, won it in 97 and then won four straight in 2013, 14, 15, and 16. He's joining us now to talk about coaching kids. You're going to help us all out, Coach. I appreciate you making time.
Thanks for having me on, John. You gotta fix one thing, though. Well, actually, two things. I didn't win it in 97. Coach Bart Valentine, who's one of my mentors, he was the head coach and won it in 97. I got to coach with him at Warner Pacific College his first 2 years when he went over there. And I'm the former West Lynn High School basketball
That's
coach because
right.
I just resigned a couple weeks ago.
You got a couple. What happened a couple weeks ago? You're just done? You had enough? What's going on?
The reason I resigned was, it was kind of in the plan the whole time, is my son is going to attend Westmont College, and he's going to play basketball there next year, and I don't want to miss, you know, not that I'm going to go to every game, but we want to go, you know, 6-7 times next year, and I don't want to be worried about, you know, working around practices or games or whatever. So my wife, Jen, and I just want to be able to go when we can, and we're looking forward to that next chapter.
I think it's the right reason, right? You want to be there for your kids, and, you know, you've been there for a whole bunch of kids, including your own, but other people's kids as well, and to splinter your attention there wouldn't be fair to anybody, so I like that you're doing that. You know, before you came on, I was kind of talking about the discussion they're having around the 6A football playoffs and maybe splintering the bracket into Group A and Group B and then having them compete for separate championships. I don't like that, and I'm afraid it's going to happen in boys basketball and in girls basketball. I just think there should be a 6A champion, a 5A champion, a 4A champion. You know, if you're in a division, let's have a real championship, and let's be okay if not everybody gets a trophy.
I totally agree. I don't know who likes this proposal. I do understand, especially in football, 1 through 32, you know, when you start those games, there are some big-time mismatches. And in my opinion, I feel like they should just go to maybe a 16-team playoff in football, because it can be such a, a big-time difference. But I'll say this, in basketball, we played Wells. It was our first-round game. I think we were the fifth seed this year, and they were 26. And I remember seeing them, that there was a chance that we were going to play them. And, I mean, their record was, they played in the PIL. They played a bunch of teams tough. It was a really good game, and we kind of pulled away at the end. So I guess, selfishly, as a basketball coach, I still like 1 through 32 for basketball, but for football, I like 1 through 16.
Give us an idea, because you've coached Peyton Pritchard, you've coached the Shellstad kid, that Jackson Shellstad, that is headed to Oregon. You've had some great players over the years that have been basketball players. You've had some great kids that have gone on to play professional baseball and football and other things. Multi-sport athletes. Where do you stand on kids that play more than one sport?
We really encourage multi-sport athletes. But I will say this, I have changed through the years, because I was a guy that played three sports in high school. When I first got into coaching, we would encourage kids to play three sports. With my kids, and when people ask me, I try to encourage for two. I think three is really, really hard. We had a kid named Hayden Coppedge. He was a really good player for us a few years back. He was the starting quarterback. And then he was, one of our leading scorers, a couple of our state championship teams. And then in the spring, he played golf. And I remember at the end of the – I was coaching golf, and we use that word loosely. I was driving the van to and from the matches, I guess. But I remember how exhausted he was. And I think three sports is tough. I think two sports is very doable. And I just like that you like that your kid is – the kids are still being competitive all the whole year. They have different roles on different teams. They might be the star on the football field, but on the basketball team, maybe they're the towel waver, the seventh, eighth guy. But it just teaches you so many different things about yourself and about being part of a team, and while still being competitive. And so I'm a big fan of multi-sport.
Yeah, and I feel like – I was talking to Pat Casey yesterday about this, and, he said his little league, he remembers playing 12 games. I remember playing 18, and then it was over. And I think, some of what you're talking about is, I think each individual sport has grown in the demand and the year-round and the off-season. And, you have winter baseball, you have summer baseball, you have basketball in the spring, and then, in other places. So, and in football, the 7-on-7, it's just they have grown individually and made it more difficult.
I really believe my son Zeke, he played football and basketball at the high school level and youth level and everything like that. I think youth football is probably the best. It still has some balance. You're having practice three times a week. You're playing a game on Saturday. There's only, there's 7-8 games. But it's funny now that some of these guys, now they got to have all-star teams after the season's over, and then that runs deeper. And I have no problem with, 7-on-7, because I have no problem. I mean, I think that's a good thing. I think AAU's a good thing. But it's just funny, when my son and my daughter played AAU basketball, there were so many times, and Zeke and Jackson played together when they were younger. They would have so many games where we would win by 40, 50 points, and we'd be driving out to Vancouver or Salem or up to Seattle. And, there was just a lot of games where we're like, why are we doing this? Yeah. This is kind of a waste of time. We should just go to the gym for 2.5 hours, practice against each other, get better, or do some skill work, and then just have games at, you know, special weekends. You don't need to play 60 games in the winter with AAU basketball. You could play 20, 25 and probably get more out of it.
We're talking to Eric Vukla, former Westland High School boys basketball coach, four-time state champion. The Peyton Pritchard Basketball Camp, second annual camp, is 2 weeks in June and in July. I have tweeted out a link to it. What are kids going to get who come to that camp?
So it's 1 week in it's 1 week in June and 1 week in July. But you know, we had our first ever last year, and Peyton. What I love about Peyton is he's at the camp the whole day, and sometimes I had to kind of, you know, he wanted to jump in on every competition and every game and get in there, and I'm like, hey, you know, Peyton, they want to play with you, but, you know, they kind of want to have their game too. They don't want the NBA guy coming in here and dominating them. But he, I mean, he's very hands-on. He's working the drills with them, and he's just there all day. The thing I'm excited about is we're going to have his dad there. He's going to be kind of running the show. And Terry is a fabulous skill work coach. You know, he did it for years with the FAST program, and he helped a lot of guys become and gals become really good basketball players. So, and because I don't get to see him that much because they're living in Florida and Boston now, I'm excited to get to see them. So, I think it's going to be a great. I think we're going to get a great turnout, and it's going to be a great camp.
For people who are interested in that, go to my Twitter, at John Canzano BFT. I tweeted out a link to it. Where else can they find it, Eric?
Well, it's going to be – I know that I put it on my Twitter as well, but it's going to be on the Westland Youth basketball site. We're still working on that. And we're just going to – we're going to try to put it everywhere we can.
Yeah, it's not hard to find. I just Googled Peyton Pritchard Camp, and you know it pops up in a number of places. So it, you know, people can find that. Again, there's a week in June and a week in July. Fit it into your schedule. Are you surprised at all about the impact Peyton Pritchard has had, even in the NBA and even in this first round series? He had some really nice minutes.
I'm not, and I don't want to sound like I remember there'd be some guys that they would run into me and especially like his sophomore, junior year. And, they'd be talking about Peyton. Well, Peyton, you know, he's kind of struggling. And I'm like, you know, and I thought at that time, Oregon was just kind of, it was his sophomore and junior year. It was just a weird mix of guys that he was playing with. And I'm not that, cause I think Dana Altman's one of the best coaches in the country. I'm not that, it was just a weird mix of guys. And it didn't really kind of fit Peyton's game. I felt like they would, like, zone up on Peyton and then almost shade a guy. So he's almost like playing boxing ones all the time. But I remember guys were like, you know, do you really think he's going to play in the NBA? And I said, no, I don't think. I know he's going to make it in the NBA. And it's because I've just been around him. And from the neck up, that guy is going to get it done. And I've never seen anything like it. He's just... and you and I have talked about this before, his dedication, his determination, his work ethic, his competitiveness, it's second to none. It's 1% in the entire world of making things happen. So when he does things in the NBA, I'm never shocked. I think he'll be a guy that will be a starting point guard for 10, 11 years. And he'll be able to show here some people here in the next couple of years that not only is he in the NBA, but he's going to be a very productive member of a team where he's leading a team. I really believe that.
We're talking a longtime high school basketball coach, Eric Vukla, on the show, four-time state champion at West Lynn High School. You've seen kids over the years, including your own in the program. You're watching kids now who are growing up maybe you know, in a little different space with club basketball and now NIL, the transfer portal in colleges. Are kids changing? Have you seen changes in kids, or are they pretty much the same?
I think they're pretty much the same. I'm not seeing. I think the only thing that I could see changing is sometimes, you know, I think there's some trickle down every once in a while. Now, we don't have that in our program, or we haven't had that in our program, but I'll see some kids like, well, I'm going to take this week off, or I've got a little owie, and so I'm gonna rest it, and I don't want, where, you know, I don't, and I've been very blessed. Like our Westland kids, they wanted to play. They didn't want, never did we have any kids that were like, hey, I'm going to sit out, and I'm going to take it easy. And I see some of that going on, and I don't, you know, it's like that load management thing. That's the only thing I see from a distance, but not personally.
It's interesting to kind of watch what's happening in college sports too. And I, you know, I'm going to ask you to look ahead a little bit, but you know, I always look at high school sports and I go, look, for most kids, it's just going to be a place where they get to be part of a team. They get to be around other healthy kids. They get to, you know, and we see all the studies that say you play sports, you get better grades, you're getting less trouble, you learn some life lessons. But you've got some kids and you put some kids in the next level and now the NBA. How does that feel to you?
Well, I didn't put them there. They put themselves there. I wish, but I like with Peyton and Jackson, I always like to tell people I didn't coach them. I got to coach them. I mean, they're just such at a level where, one, they're just extremely talented, but they're the kids that just want to work and get better, and you know, it's just a passion. So that part is a lot of fun. That part has been a lot of fun. You know, being here at Westland, we you know, like Jaden Grant, there's another kid, you know, got to coach him. I mean, he was a joy to coach. Talk about a kid that, like, every drill, he'd want to bite your arm off to win. And then just a great teammate, you know. And it just goes on and on. Brooks DeBishop, Tate Hoffman, Will Matheson, you know, Tawa, just kids that came from that just wanted to be great and would do whatever it took to do those things, and also were great students and great people.
The officiating in the state, I hear from the State Officials Association, they're having a hard time recruiting and finding officiating. And, you know, I don't know if the quality of officiating is up or down, but how do you think we get more people involved in helping officiate or maybe raise the level of officiating in our state?
That's a great question. I do know that I don't necessarily know if it's because they're all turned. I know a lot of the public kind of outcry is that it's because, you know, fans are yelling at them and doing all that. It seemed like the whole COVID thing really put a hit on some things. And I don't know if some referees then just got out of the mode of thinking about being a referee. I thought the refereeing this past year was pretty darn good. You know, I'm sure if there's a referee out there, they're going to go, well, gosh, you didn't act like that when I was reffing your game. I don't know if they need to go out and start some camps. And I know that they've done that in the past. I know I've heard some radio commercials where the OSA is trying to recruit some officials. I don't have an answer for that, but for the most part, they do a pretty good job. Especially, I thought the Portland Referees Association, who does most of the Westland games, I thought this year they did a really, really good job.
Yeah, you know, look, when I was like 15, I would go out and I would umpire Little League games, and it gave me a great appreciation for what officials go through. And I think every parent should have to do that before they yell at an official. But I do empathize with the entities that are struggling to attract, you know, officiating and officials. The club basketball scene versus the high school basketball scene, if I could ask you, you know, for your thoughts on that, you know, is it good for the club coach to coach high schools? Do you like a separation of church and state? Has the rise of club basketball hurt high school basketball? What are you seeing?
Oh, I think the rise of club basketball helps. But just like, I mean, there's some good high school basketball coaches here in the state, and there's some probably not so good. There's some really, really good AAU coaches, and then I've seen some ones that weren't very good. But I think if a guy is a coach and he has an AAU team and a high school thinks that he's the best candidate for their school to be the coach, wholeheartedly, I think that he should be able to coach both. I was really lucky because Kerry ran the FAST program, and most of our kids in our area, the West Lynn, a lot of them played for Terry, so I knew they were getting good coaching. And you know, Terry did such a good job of, it was all about 90% was skill work, and then 10% was, hey, we'll put some schemes in and some sets, and we'll run it, but we're trying to get better, and we're trying to develop the player. And, you know, my only complaint about the whole club AAU, but people could say this probably about high school as well, is I just think there's too many games. More games doesn't mean better. Yeah. That's one thing I like about high school, coaching high school basketball, is you got the 2 games a week, and then the rest of the time's practice. And that's my favorite part about being a coach. I love practice. I'm going to miss practice. I love preparing and doing all that. So, that's what I like about coaching.
I think you'll be back at some point. Eric Vukola, thank you for your time. For those who want to sign up, second annual Peyton Pritchard Basketball Camp, a week in June, June 27th through the 29th, July 11th through the 13th. Peyton Pritchard will be there. His dad, Terry Pritchard, will be there. Eric Vukola, thank you for your time.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you.
You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Leave it right here.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Every day on the program, we do a big splash. Today, no different.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, Major League Baseball announced a 324-game suspension for Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer today. That's the equivalent of 2 full seasons, and it's by far the most severe punishment handed out under the sport's domestic violence policy. Bauer, 31 years old, was accused of sexual assault by a woman who requested a restraining order and alleged that he took it too far over the course of 2 encounters last April and May. Bauer's on a 3-year, $102 million contract after winning the Cy Young Award winner in 2020. He spent the last 81 regular season games on administrative leave. He has now been suspended through what looks to be about the 19th game of the 2024 season. I want you to leave it here. Punch It Audio coming up next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.